Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 19th day of October 2020. I'm so thrilled to have back as a returning guest one of my favorite guests to interview of all time, Reverend Jeff Thomas, who beginning in 1965 served for over 50 years as pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales. He's going to be on with us 2 days in a row again. We love the fact that we started this tradition where he has been typically on the show as a guest 2 days in a row whenever he's on, and I'm delighted that he has decided to do that again today and tomorrow, the 19th and 20th of October. Today he is going to be addressing the theme, Illustrating How Knowing True Theology is Essential. And tomorrow, Tuesday, the 20th of October, he'll be interviewed on the theme, Benefiting from Knowing True Theology. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Well, thank you very much. I come very apprehensive. Your listeners are discerning. They search me with questions that I've not known are going to come. And then I have to cry in my heart, Lord, help me now to answer these questions. You kindly shepherd me and guide me through the delightful hours we spend here together. And I hope people who are listening everywhere will be strengthened in faith and deepened in their understanding of the Word of God, and more consecrated to serve and love our dear Savior.
Amen. Well, you have never failed me yet as being a superb guest, brother, and I don't expect anything different today and tomorrow. For the sake, again, of our listeners who are not familiar with Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, where you did serve before retirement from the pastorate, for over 50 years, and where your grandson is now pastor. Tell us about that fine church.
Yeah, well, it was in a bit of a muddle. Whenever a university comes into a town and starts and establishes and sends its roots out, it has the most secular influence on that community. And the degrees and letters of a man behind his name become more important than his experience and knowledge of the gospel and his love for the historic confessional Christian faith. And that was the situation in Aberystwyth. It had been a little seaport in the middle of Wales, halfway between the north and the south. So the first university was established there. And then it had an effect upon the pulpits. They wanted a learned approach, an educated approach, rather than a historic, biblical, Christian approach. And the first 50 years of the century, we don't know of a gospel pulpit in any many of the denominations in Wales. And then I went there in 65, and there were a group of Christians in the congregation that were praying that the church would see better days, that it would be a Bible-based worship and a Bible-based message that it would give to the students of the town and the people of Mid Wales. And so the Lord helped me and encouraged me with their support. And so I was happy. My wife and my three daughters, we loved the seaside and the fresh faces of young students. And so I spent those 50 years there, and 46 men went into the ministry during those 52 years. So I had my own seminary, didn't I? And men like Derek Thomas, who is now well known in the United States, he was one of the students that was saved in Aberystwyth.
Praise God. If anybody wants more information on this fine historic church, if you're ever visiting Aberystwyth, Wales, or if you already live near there, go to alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk. Well, you have selected two excellent themes for our two-day discussion with you. And the first is illustrating how knowing true theology is essential. And that's a very interesting theme because, as you probably know, there are multitudes in modern evangelicalism who would argue against that. They would even argue vociferously against that. They would downplay the vital importance, and they would downplay that it is essential to know true theology. They would basically repeat the mantra, just love Jesus, just love Jesus. And they seem to either not know or completely forget that if you're going to love Jesus, you have to love the true Jesus. And the only way you can know the true Jesus is to know true theology. But if you could, pick up where I left off there and tell us why you selected this very vital topic.
You know, in 1961, I sailed in a cargo boat from Liverpool to the United States. And I went to Westminster Seminary from 1961 to 1964. And they were blessed years for me because Westminster picked up what old Princeton had held to, its position, its truth. Our textbook was Charles Hodges' Systematic Theology, as taught by a former Princeton lecturer, John Murray. And when Charles Hodge died, his son followed him. My grandson followed me, but A.A. Hodge followed him, and at the induction service, the place was packed, the end of the 19th century, and Dr. Paxton said to the congregation, great words that I love. He said, the name of this seminary is known in all the world. Its chief distinction is its biblical teaching. The ground of its faith is the Bible. Its only question is, what has God said? Its only proof is God's word. Its professors have never reached the point of thinking they know more than the Bible. This seminary has always taught that there are two questions to be considered. One, is this the word of God? Two, what does it mean? This ascertained, there is nothing left but to believe and adore. I think that is the most terrific statement of what a true biblical training college for preparing men to be preachers of the everlasting gospel should assert and cleave to. And when Princeton lost its way, and when it brought in new orthodox and liberal men, then Dr. Machen and Mr. Murray and others left, and the seminary started at Westminster. Now there are probably 10 Presbyterian seminaries that hold to exactly what Paxton said, that our distinction is biblical teaching. The ground of our faith is the Bible, and its only question is, what has God said? And that is what we love about the United States and the books that have been produced by the teachers in these seminaries, and the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of men that are being prepared for the gospel ministry sitting under such teachers, learning such theology. And that is my longing for Europe in all its secular dominance. You know, Augustus Strong was in Rochester, New York, in another seminary there. At the same time, he was a friend of Hodge. And he spoke about the teaching of theology, that the eyes of the heart must be enlightened to perceive the truth of God. To know the truth needful is to do the truth, he said. Theology is a science which can be successfully cultivated only in connection with its practical application. So, he said in my lectures and in my book of theology, I want to point out always the relationship of theology, that is Christian teaching, to Christian experience, and to its power to awaken Christian emotions and lead to Christian decisions. I am not interested in abstract theology. Only that theology is scientific, which brings the student to the feet of Christ. In other words, it's the heart that makes a theologian. And that is my desire, to defend those statements from those great men, and rejoice that they are being maintained and declared in numbers of seminaries in the United States today. And they're the ones who listen to this program, and they're the ones whose books I purchase and read. So I want to ask the question, why do we need systematic theology? You know, there are three aspects to the Christian religion. Firstly, there's piety, godliness, man's relation with God, his devotion to him, speaking to him in prayer, worshipping him, individually in private devotions, and then corporately on the Lord's Day with all the people of God. And when we want to learn about private and congregational response to God, what passage do we go to learn about our prayer life? Well, we use the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. And that teaches us about our relationship with God, our piety. Secondly, there is morality. There are the ethics that the Creator requires of his creatures, and the Savior produces and sustains and nurtures in all his born-again people. How, then, should they live? And the answer to that ethical issue is summarized in the Ten Commandments, especially as it's opened up by our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, and by Paul in Romans 13, Ephesians 5 and 6. There's a big, fat volume of Wayne Grudem now called Christian Ethics, the companion volume to his Systematic Theology. And what does he use to teach us about how we are to live? Well, he uses the Ten Commandments. That's the skeleton on which he hangs the daily living of those who are twice born. So, Christianity is firstly piety, our relationship with God, our devotion to him, speaking in prayer. Secondly, it's how we live, Christian ethics. And there is the Ten Commandments. And then there is, thirdly, the third ingredient in Christianity is the faith, once delivered to the saints. The doctrines of Christianity, the dogma, the decrees, the theology, theos logos, the word of God. And where do you find then a summary of the oracles of God, like you do in prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in Christian living, the Ten Commandments? Where do you find a comprehensive summary and survey of the essence of Christian truth? Is there a supreme passage summarizing it, equivalent to the Ten Commandments for behavior and the Lord's Prayer for devotion? It doesn't exist. We've got to have it. Where do we go for it? So what have theologians done? Well, they turned to the Apostles' Creed. I was preaching in All Saints Presbyterian Church in Newcastle last week at our annual conference. And there on the wall behind the pulpit, there was the Lord's Prayer. And there were the Ten Commandments. And there was the Apostles' Creed, a human summary to create a system of Christian teaching. Now, you tell me, you think about this. What Bible passage would you think contains the comprehensive essence of Christian teaching? And I'm not asking you a trick question. What equivalent to prayer, the Lord's Prayer passage, behavior, the Ten Commandments, would be a passage which would give you the essence of Christian teaching? And if you think about it, you would say correctly to me, well, Romans chapters 1 to 11. Good, that's great. Or Ephesians 1, 2, 3, and 4. Great. Colossians 1 and 2. And those are all great answers. Or then, another of you would say, I go to one of the many big texts, the compressed truth texts that are scattered through the whole of Scripture. And I would gather them together. I would open them up one by one in some sort of order, and they would explain, God's our creator. Man is fallen and ruined by sin. God in his love has provided redemption, speaking through the prophets and then sending his incarnate son, Jesus Christ. He regenerates us by the Spirit and enables us to live a sanctified life. And then we are heading for the end times. And that series of the peaks of Christian teaching, you would collect those passages together in some sort of wise gospel order. Like Paul does in Romans 8, those whom he predestined, them he also called. Those he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And there we have a summary, a system, a plan, an order. And so in the absence of a single passage that summarily comprehends all the doctrines of God, creation, fall, incarnation, redemption, you gather these passages, these summaries together. And that's why they've been put into the Apostles' Creed, the Westminster Standards, the Shorter Catechism, the 1689 Baptist Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism. And these summaries are such a useful outline and structure to which are amplified more fully again in the great books of systematic theology that have wonderfully appeared in the last 2 years. And so that would be my approach to defend why we need to have, why it's necessary to have, and not difficult to have, a gathering together of systematic theology.
Now, one thing that I'm sure you would agree, on the one end of the spectrum, what you're saying is all absolutely true, and something that is not only forgotten but even militated against in our day and age. But at the same time, don't we have to be careful about not exalting one's understanding of right theology? Now, I'm not talking about the essentials of the truth, like salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, or the Trinity, or the virgin birth, or the sinlessness and perfect obedience of Christ, or about his substitutionary death, his bodily resurrection, things like that. But sometimes we who are Reformed, and it's not only us, there are many different theological representatives that do this, but we have to be careful about not becoming puffed up and proud and belittle and be antagonistic and dismissive of our brothers in Christ who have not yet arrived to recognize and embrace some of these precious truths that you and I share and declare with great joy.
Yes, of course. Of course. We have to be careful of that. And we have to be careful not to major in the minors and introduce the minors into works of theology. You know, systematic theology is topical teaching that presents and applies the comprehensive testimony of the Bible. It's an explanation of the Bible on the major themes of the Word of God. So you have to, and we plead with people, respect the weight the Scripture places on various themes. And theological explanations must be sensitive to the proportions and categories of these revealed truths. I think there's no place in a systematic theology for a discussion on women's headgear or opening up a section on what being baptized for the dead means. You know, that's just special pleading. You've written a book on it, or you've got a special theory on it, and you've introduced it. You've turned a work of systematic theology into an encyclopedia of Christianity. Well, you know, that's not the place for it. There are other places where you can find such discussion. Theology, systematic theology, is a gathering of major themes. We major in the majors. And it must be scriptural. There must be clear biblical foundation and evidence for all the sources that we cite for what we believe, what we preach, what we testify to, what we teach young people about, the central themes of the Bible.
And now we have to go to our very first break. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Jeff Thomas, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson. pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. is absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buda Fuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today, and this is the first of a two-day interview we're doing, we're conducting with Reverend Jeff Thomas. He had been the pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales for over 50 years, and he is a frequent speaker at Banner of Truth conferences, as well as an author, having been published by Banner of Truth and Reformation, Reformation Heritage books, that's it, and others, and we are delighted to have him for the next 2 days. Today he is addressing, illustrating how knowing true theology is essential, and tomorrow he's going to be discussing benefiting from knowing true theology. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And one thing that we always have to remember about these precious theological truths that we believe in, unless we get too haughty, because it's interesting that the very truths that we as Reformed Christians embrace as being as the key identifiers of what makes us unique as Christians, those doctrines of sovereign grace, those things are supposed to humble us, not exalt us, not make us puffed up and proud. Is that right?
Quite so. Quite so. You know, the man who seemed to embrace these truths, but in the most wonderfully evangelistic and pastoral and caring way, was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he would say that a church should have three distinct meetings in a week. One should be pastoral, expository preaching on the Christian life, that would be Sunday mornings. Another should be evangelistic preaching, beseeching men and women to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be Sunday nights. And then thirdly, he said, there should be a meeting in which Christian theology and dogma should be explained. And he did that on Friday nights. Now, I don't know anyone else anywhere in the world who suggests a threefold division like that. But he did it. And those Friday night meetings were immensely valuable, well attended, you know, 800,000 people there. And he first did a series then on great doctrines of the Bible, and that was sparked off by Billy Graham coming in the early 1950s and holding weeks of meetings in Haringey Arena in London. And it stirred London, and it was reported in the press, and it was reported on the BBC, and there was a lot of interest in Christian teaching. And he tells us that he found people coming on to him and asking him question after question about Christian teaching, about origins, about the fall of man, about what Jesus Christ did, about justification by faith, about the latter days. And so he did this series, which finally came out in a big fat single volume called Great Doctrines of the Bible. And it's a fascinating book written by an evangelist who is having to face up to the revival of interest in Reformed theology and to examine his own beliefs as he's confronted by the dynamics of this evangelical debate. For whom did Christ die? And people argued about it. And he made his own contribution. So there is a wonderful congregation in the East End of London, not far from the Olympic Stadium, a black congregation of half of them are now Nigerians and half of them are from the West Indies, especially from the island of Montserrat, where there is an active volcano. And half the congregation left Montserrat and sailed to Britain looking for jobs, getting jobs in Britain, and they met together in a congregation. And the son of the previous pastor, named Easternhouse, he got a job in 1950-ish at the Westminster City Hall, a civil servant in the City Hall. And he came across a number of other Christians working there. And one Christian would say to him, "Oh, we've got a Bible study one evening. Would you like to come along?" And he wasn't keen. His experience of five people sitting in a room, each of them suggesting comments on a verse of scripture, rather unedifying. And on a Friday night, he wanted to go home to his wife and children. But this man then, he would wait a couple of months and he'd say, "Would you like to come along? We've got the Bible study still going on a Friday." And so one evening, he agreed to go along with the man. "It's not far," the man said. "We can walk there." And so they walked down, not far from Buckingham Palace, not far from Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. They came to Buckingham Gate, and there he saw a chapel he had noticed before, Westminster Chapel. And the Bible study wasn't five or six people, but hundreds and hundreds of people. And there he heard for the first time Dr. Lloyd-Jones of opening up Romans. On Sunday, 2 days later, he said to his friend, the pastor, Tom Tuitt, "You've got to come with me next Friday." And Tom did. And they never stopped attending. And the influence of the preaching of this systematic exposition of Christian doctrine, Friday by Friday, impacted those men and their congregation. And today it meets in Hackney. It's got a beautiful building with a wraparound gallery and a fine, large congregation. I think it's the only Reformed black congregation in Europe. Now, most of us have to combine a prayer meeting with a Bible study at the midweek meeting. Our congregations are not large enough for us to have two midweek meetings, one a preaching service and one a prayer meeting. I pray that our congregations will be blessed and will grow and we'll have two meetings. Now, I do not think while there is one meeting that an exposition of systematic theology is a good introduction to corporate congregational praying for the needs pastorally and evangelistically of the congregation. I've been there. I've done that. I've killed prayer meetings by heavy theological preaching at the beginning. The message before the prayer time should be conscious of what's to come in the meeting, full of pathos, as real and suitable as one can be, as one feels one is a little sinner before a great God, whose only right to be there is through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. Focusing then on the pressures that our friends in the body of Christ live with, and immensely encouraged by the Savior saying to us, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to God, pray to God. And so my choice of three meetings would be one of pastoral, systematic, expository preaching, Sunday mornings, one of evangelistic expository preaching Sunday nights. But if we find more sinners, unbelievers coming out in the mornings, swap those round. That's you've got to be wise about these things. And then finally, experiential preaching for the midweek meeting, full of an appeal to the affections, as you and the passage and the Spirit of God can make it. So that's my approach for how we present theology, the balance of it in the normal, everyday life of our gospel churches.
Amen. And we just brought this up recently. I don't mean you and I, but my friend, Pastor Kurt M. Smith, who just wrote a wonderful biography of George Whitefield. And we're actually going to be continuing our discussion on Whitefield this Thursday, God willing, with Pastor Kurt. But Thundering the Word is really self-explanatory about Whitefield's manner of preaching. And there seems to be a disagreement amongst, not only amongst Christians in general, but amongst Reformed Christians as well, where some seem to think that it's inconsequential or unimportant as far as the manner with which one preaches. Some would say that you must preach boldly and forcefully and with power, and you must at least, when it's appropriate, raise your voice. And some would even go as far on the opposite end of the spectrum to criticize emotional, passionate preaching as being an attempt to manipulate one's emotions in the audience and act more as if you are Arminian or semi-Pelagian or Pelagian from the pulpit in seeking to win converts. So I happen to know that you are an extremely gifted preacher, and you could never possibly bore anyone listening to you, because it is very obvious you are excited, you are enthusiastic, and you are passionate about what you are teaching and preaching and declaring. So tell us about what you think the role of importance in regard to the manner of one's preaching is.
Of course. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. In Ephesians 4:13, Paul is nurturing every single Christian in the Ephesian congregation till we all attain to the likeness of Christ. All of us, not just those that have a particular love of theology. Or Jude speaks of the faith once delivered to the saints, not to the seminary students or the bishops and deacons, but working people, those who labor in council offices for local government, and on a Friday night they're anxious to go home to their wives and children. There's a new systematic theology, Lectures in Systematic Theology, written by Greg Nichols, and it's four volumes have appeared now, and this is what he says. Over the years, the quality control of my systematic lectures has been the secretary who typed them. Soon after I began teaching systematics in 1979, the Lord provided as my secretary a recently converted single young woman. Being a new convert, she was especially hungry to learn. She typed many manuscripts of those early lectures. I didn't tell her this at the time, that she was my quality control. If after she typed a transcript of a lecture, she said, "Oh, Pastor Nichols, I really got blessed by that," then I said to myself, that material passes the test. But if she came to me scratching her head and saying, "Pastor Nichols, I didn't understand that. It didn't make sense, went over my head," then I said to myself, "It's not good enough. I must edit it, clarify it. I must try to present it so that she can benefit from it." And that is how I approach systematics. I refuse to be ashamed of it or intimidated away from it. It's for the secretary, it's for housewives, it's for Christian young people in high school and college, it's for fishermen and carpenters. Our master was a carpenter. He chose fishermen as apostles. I refuse to be impressed by people who say, it's not scholarly enough, it hasn't got enough footnotes. I make no bones about it. I want to produce a systematic theology that I can address to all church members. It reminds me, those words of Gregg, reminds me of the words of William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English. Why? So that the English plowboy could hear in his own language the wonderful works and words of God in Scripture.
Amen. Amen. So at the same time, you're dismissing the notion that it is required that a pastor of Reformed theology be very professorial and very, very academic. And I'm assuming you meant by that also it'd be wrong for him to be devoid of passion.
Exactly. Exactly. That'll kill anything. You know, Abram Kuyper, he had drunk the intoxications of modernism at the seminary he attended. Then he being a minister in his first church, the gospel people in the congregation were not impressed with his preaching. He began visiting. And he came with one of his elders to the home of an earnest Bible Christian, a woman called Petronella Baltus. And he said, "Preacher, how are you? I'm the new minister. I thought I'd pay you a visit." And he started to talk about her, about a mountain of potatoes he'd seen in the farmyard, and whether there'd been a good harvest. And she looked at him, she said, "Domine Kuyper, it's been a good harvest, but that isn't really what you just wanted to talk about, is it? We are created for eternity. And that's what I'd like to talk about with you for a moment." And the Lord took away her prejudice against him. She spoke to him about the things one needs in order to be able to live and die comforted. She spoke for a full hour without him saying a single word. It was all a foreign language to him. And when he said goodbye to her, she thought, "Well, that's the last I'll see of him." He was alone this time. He didn't have an elder with him. He said, "Tell me again about the things that are needful." And she planted the seeds of true religion in his heart.
In fact, you've got to pick up, it's a very important spot when Abraham Kuyper's conversion while a pastor. But if you could return when we return from our break. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Use this time wisely. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other local announcements that are local to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely and write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, further ensuring that they will remain our advertisers, which will further ensure that we will remain on the air because we absolutely depend on our advertisers to exist. So please write down that information provided by our advertisers and respond to our advertisers, and also send in questions for Jeff Thomas to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Jeff Thomas.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Remember, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. We want to keep Solid Ground Christian Books happy, because they are a primary sponsor of this program. We need Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. Therefore, if you want to further ensure that they will continue advertising with us, help keep them in business by purchasing as many books as you can, as frequently as you can from them at solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not going to be just doing them a favor and doing Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio a favor. You're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor, and anybody for whom you purchase gifts of at solid-ground-books.com, because they carry the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and make purchases, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our discussion with Jeff Thomas. Just have some important announcements to make. First of all, we have, as I mentioned earlier, Kurt Smith returning on Thursday, the 22nd of October, to conduct part two of a discussion we began last week, Thundering the Word, The Awakening Ministry of George Whitefield. That's his latest book, which is a biography of Whitefield, and I look forward to Kurt returning for part two of that discussion. On Friday, we have Tim Clary joining us for the very first time. You may have heard that I originally had Tim scheduled for Wednesday, but we have switched his interview to Wednesday. Tim is a Christian geologist, and he has written an excellent 500-page book, hardback book, that proves the worldwide flood, the Genesis flood, was indeed a true historic event, and much in opposition to what the many have said in the secular world of science. So I'm looking forward to have Tim on for the very first time here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then the final week of October, from Monday the 26th of October through Friday the 29th, I'm sorry, Friday the 30th of October, we're going to be spending that entire week paying tribute to the late Greg Bahnsen. And we are going to be discussing the Bahnsen Project, and we are going to be interviewing a different knowledgeable expert on the life, legacy, and teaching of Greg Bahnsen, a different expert every day. Sometimes we're going to have multiple experts on a particular day. So make sure you block that out on your calendar to make sure you listen every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for our week-long tribute to Dr. Greg Bahnsen, the father of modern Christian apologetics. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing in a check via snail mail, just make out the check to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and send it to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us if, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. We would love to help you promote whatever that is, whether it's your business, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, a special event, as long as it's compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what I believe, but you need to be promoting something compatible. Then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, please never, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture. Providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you love the show, and you don't want us to disappear, please give as frequently as you can and as generously as you can at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. We're in urgent need of your financial assistance, and we hope that you begin donating soon. And if you already have donated, perhaps you can consider prayerfully increasing your donations, because we are in urgent need. I want to thank everybody from the depth of my heart who has been faithfully and regularly giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as well as those who have just recently given for the first time. I thank you so much. I can't even describe in the English language how much I thank you. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church home, wherever you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church that is faithful to the Scriptures I have helped people all over the planet find churches, sometimes within a few minutes' drive from their house, and they didn't even know these churches existed. I have lists spanning the globe of biblically solid churches. So, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line if you are indeed in need of a church home. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jeff Thomas and join our discussion today with a question of your own on illustrating how knowing true theology is essential. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And you were saying right before the break, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you because it's always a fascinating story to hear, but you were talking about the conversion, the rebirth of Abraham Kuyper, the great Reformed scholar and theologian, who was actually saved while he was already a minister. Jeff, are you there? I think we lost Jeff Thomas. So we're going to another station break because of this. Don't go away. We will be back after these messages from our sponsors.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Yes, and I believe we are rejoined by Jeff Thomas. You were just at the point before we went to our midway break. You were just at the point when you had been discussing the conversion of Abraham Kuyper,
yeah,
who was saved while a minister. He was already a pastor, and he was still as lost could be, and
yeah,
and his rebirth came later on in his life when yeah, visiting a woman who was a parishioner or a member, a yeah, congregant of his church.
Yeah, and she spoke to him, and he knew she had something that he didn't have, that he'd lost. And he went back to her and treasured her all her life and was thankful to God. And so I was just simply making the point that systematic theology must be scriptural, and it must be simple for the milkmaid as well as the plowboy. I don't mean that it must be simplistic, but it should be lucid and relevant and accessible. And, you know, the big buzzword is that it should be exegetical, which simply means it should explain what verses of Scripture, and it should show the statements it makes are true, because this is actually what the Bible is saying. And sometimes the words are not big. You have all those big words: expiation, propitiation, sanctification, justification. They are God's words. He gave us those words. We didn't make them up, and we've got to understand them. But sometimes it's very important to know two-letter words. For example, are we saved by good works, or are we saved to good works? Just two letters, by and to, but the difference between them is the difference between heaven and hell. Are we saved by what we do? Then there's no need for Jesus Christ to come into the world. If my decent life and my kindnesses and thoughtfulness and love for my children and my parents and my husband, my wife, if that's going to save me. But I know that I've hurt the people who depend on me the most, and I've taken advantage of them, and I could never go to heaven. And God says, why should I let you into heaven? And I'd say, well, because of my good works. I'm saved to good works, to do good works, for good works. If I'm a saved man, then my life is going to show it. I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I would do it perfectly. That's going to be my ambition in life, to love God, not just give him half a life, but give him my whole heart and soul and strength and serve him, because he is God. And I'm a shrimp in comparison to him. And I want to give then to God all my life to work for him and serve him. So, explaining the Bible, explaining little words like by works or for good works is also essential. So it must be scriptural, it must be simple, and it must be faithfully explaining the Word of God. That's where true theology comes from.
And going back to the main theme of why it is essential to know true theology, you can't really get by having a walk with Christ that is genuine, or even salvation at all, if you have a false Christ because of your bad theology, if you have a false gospel because of bad theology. I mean, when you believe something that is seriously in error, it pollutes so many other aspects of the faith, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Oh, yes. I want to open up that tomorrow as we go on, but it is certainly essential to test one's opinions of Jesus Christ with the teaching and the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And are we just prejudiced? Are we believing what the world believes about Jesus Christ? That he was a good man, that he was a failed prophet, that like all prophets at the end who fail and people turn on them and kill them, Jesus was such a person. I mean, that is so totally inadequate and false. That's a demonic view of Jesus Christ, because we know in the end, he rises from the dead, and he lives in the power of an endless life. God is so pleased with him, he tells him, you're my beloved son, and he raises him up, and he is seated at the right hand of God today. So, to have the scriptural view. So, that's very important. And also, biblical theology is very important. You know how the Bible starts and tells a story, doesn't it? Man perfect, man rebelling. Adam's son kills his brother. Sin, wickedness comes into the world. God raises up Abraham, and through his seed, the patriarchs come. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they come out of Egypt. They're delivered after 400 years of bondage under Moses. He writes the first five books of the Bible. He takes them into the promised land. They have judges which are inadequate. They have kings, David, a great king, Solomon, a great king, but failures. We're waiting for another king to come. The prophets tell us that he's going to come. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government should be upon his shoulders. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We're all anticipating the coming of this Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the whole development of biblical theology, and there are different aspects and developments of that. The contrast between biblical theology and systematic theology is the difference between, say, a natural landscape and a market garden. In nature, well, is it near the river? Is it high up in a mountain? What's the climate like? What are the underlying soils? What are the outcrops of vegetation? That's the nature. That's biblical theology developing through that great story. But then you have a market garden, and your plants set out in different plots and greenhouses and tunnels, and they're nurtured in a man-created setting, and they produce one fruit, one flower, one vegetable, one sapling. And that's like systematic theology, and you need them both. You need the science laboratory where seeds are cultivated and plants are developed, and that's systematic theology. And then you want to walk through the mighty great sequoia, the redwood forests of the Rockies, and see then the beauty of natural nature. And that's biblical theology, and we need to see them both.
Well, we have, let's see, Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to say, those that are typically saying that theology is not that important, and sometimes even say that it makes a living faith a dead faith, often link arms with those who profess to be Christian but have a different gospel, such as Roman Catholics. I was wondering how you feel about the modern ecumenical movement and where we should draw the line as far as cutting off Christian fellowship. I think that some of our Reformed brothers and sisters go too far when they even include Arminian brothers and sisters in Christ as being not saved.
Yes, well, I think what's very interesting is our Lord's great concern about false prophets and how he speaks so often about this and warns his disciples about them and to be on their guard. And then he speaks about the Pharisees and the religion of works that they teach, and his awesome, fearful warnings to them directly. He confronts them and speaks of the danger that they are in. And you know the characteristic marks of ecumenical religion is that everyone has the right to his own opinion. And we are wrong to judge or criticize anyone who disagrees with what Scripture says. And that is then the end of any standard, any grasp of truth, and the antithesis of truth, which is error. And so we've got to evaluate and judge whatever a man who stands in a pulpit and teaches us, or if he writes a book and he gives it to us, or he's got some wonderful new ideas that he wants to share with us, we have to say to the law and to the testimony, if they don't agree with what the law and the testimony says, remember what Paul says in the opening chapters of his letter to the Galatians. The Galatians had had him as their founding evangelist and pastor, and he cared for them. And when he left, then false teachers came in, and they taught necessity of not only trusting in Jesus Christ, but getting circumcised and keeping food laws and going up to Jerusalem. And Gentiles had to behave like ethnic Jews. And Paul says, if I or an angel from heaven speak to you any teaching that is different from what I've said to you as an authoritative apostle of Jesus Christ, then let him be accursed. And then I'll repeat it, he said, because I want you to understand that this teaching should be read and believed in all the churches. If you add your good works, your witnessing, your piety, your praying, your testifying, if you add that to the person and work of Christ and base your salvation on that, you're a lost man. Because ego is mixed, sin is mixed with all those things. We're undone, we're lost. But here is Jesus Christ's righteousness and Jesus Christ's sacrifice, perfect and acceptable by God. And that is the only way. And if there are men who are teaching then things that are contrary to Jesus Christ, then we have to reject them, because for us, he can say nothing wrong.
And I'm sure you also agree that although those that agree with the dogmatic gospel of Roman Catholicism at Trent do not have a true gospel and therefore cannot be counted among our brethren, there are those that either through their naivete believe in the true gospel and not the gospel of Rome, or they remain Roman Catholics but still oppose the gospel of Rome for whatever reason, even though I don't think there's any legitimate reason for them to remain in that church. There are those out of fear of losing a marriage or whatever their reason is. We cannot automatically assign to hell everybody that wears the name Roman Catholic.
Of course. Of course. There's some devout people who, in spite of many of the errors that go back to Trent and the dogma and the infallibility of the Pope and the view of the Mass that they hold, and that salvation comes by the work of priests in their activities, instead of the work of the Holy Spirit in applying to our hearts life and conviction and sanctification himself by the truth. That there are some people who have seen through that and are yet viewing Jesus Christ in a very glorious and high way and trusting in him. And they haven't yet seen the need for separation from error.
And going back to the other part of that listener's question, as far as those who call themselves Calvinists or Reformed Christians who dismiss all Arminians or non-Reformed folks as lost, that is another error that we have to be very careful of.
Of course. Dr. Van Til at this night's phrase, inconsistent Calvinists. That's how we would see true believers who, as yet, we all, you know, took our time, didn't we, to come and when we heard the 5 points of Calvinism, we thought, wow, I've not thought of that before. That can't be in the Bible. And the solas of the Reformation, we were slow. And some are still a little slow in coming to appreciate them. But they're our brothers in Christ. Yes, I'm glad to meet them. I sit on the plane and discover the person next to me is a Christian And I'm so glad to speak to them, and then I find out they're a bit wobbly on some of their teaching, but oh, my brother, my sister, there we are. One day we will be in total harmony and love for our Redeemer.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two breaks. So if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, go to, or send an email to, I should say, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Thomas right after these messages.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back. Chris, I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Trump and Zion Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronTrumpAndZionRadio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Island 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we do have a listener in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Harrison, who asks, I can't remember who said this. It was somebody worthy of note that said that we have a flippant attitude about getting the facts right about God, Jesus Christ, and the gospel, but we would rarely have such an attitude if misinformation was being spread about us or our parents, our spouses, our children, somebody very close and special to us that we cherish. Shouldn't we remember this when taking such an inconsequential attitude towards misrepresenting God by thinking an understanding of true theology is so very unimportant?
I'm not sure if I understand that.
The listener, I could repeat.
The person saying we'd be very careful about defending the reputation of our families, our parents, our wives, our husbands, and we'd hate them to be maligned.
Exactly.
Or despised. But we are very careless about misrepresentations of Jesus Christ. And he's far more important than the most lovely member of our own family.
Yes.
We want to be as zealous in saying, what did Jesus say? Is that what that person is saying?
I think that you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, that's exactly how, I mean, as you were saying, I mean, Jesus Christ is infinitely more important than anybody, even ourselves, even our most precious loved one. And especially when the misinformation given about our loved ones or ourselves is very serious, then we typically get very upset, and we may contact that person and say, cease and desist from spreading that information. We may try to get that person in trouble in some way, even legally. But it seems that having an inconsequential attitude about theology is not very important to a lot of people, or being wrong about theology. The thing that we always have to remember, I think, also in this regard, is we have to, I know that I use the Judaizers a lot, but I think that modern evangelicals and even modern Roman Catholics, who are very ecumenical and don't think that theology matters very much, they forget how seriously the Apostle Paul took the sin of the Judaizers' heresy. And all we know, unless you know something I don't, and I know you know a lot of things I don't, but in this area, I think that all we know for a fact that the Judaizers believed and did that the Apostle Paul did not do was that they insisted that Gentiles be circumcised in order to become true Christians. We don't know of anything else that they disagreed with Paul on. We don't know anything else that they did that Paul did not do. And that was enough for Paul to say that they are false teachers, that they are cursed, that their gospel is no gospel at all. So aren't the Judaizers always valuable to remember when we consider a subject like this?
Yep, absolutely. Yes, and the vehemence with which when the Judaizers were saying, you got to be circumcised as well. And Paul says, I wish they'd take a knife and do a good job of the whole matter. He can, under the Holy Spirit, speak as straight as that to them in his zeal, that they shouldn't lose the gospel of grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, the glory of God alone. own. You speak the truth in love, of course, but you need also the zeal and passion of someone who is prepared to go to the stake or lay down your life rather than compromise what God has clearly said about the way of salvation. I know there are minor doctrines, aren't there? I call them twig and leaf doctrines. And I'm not going to part with my brother or refuse to have fellowship with him over a twig and leaf doctrine, but over a trunk and branch doctrine. Yeah, the one way of salvation by the one God-man, Jesus Christ, through his finished work on Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, his enthronement and praying at God's right hand, and his coming again to judge the living and the dead. There's no compromise in any of those truths. You deny that, then beware, oh beware, that you are not turning from the gospel to another gospel which cannot save.
Amen, amen. I'm going to see if I could squeeze in a last question. This is a question from... let's see here. This is from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And he says, about not excluding from fellowship those for whom truly Christ died, do we not need to imitate Jesus, where in Mark chapter 9, 38 through 41, it is said, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." So if you can respond to that, I think that we have to be careful about not giving permission to us to embrace anybody who mentions the name of Jesus as a brother.
But oh, you know, Chris, we put a sign outside the church, everyone is welcome. You can come and you can sit in the congregation and we're glad to see you. You can be a man dressed in women's clothes. You can come and sit in that congregation and hear the gospel. But if you're going to be a member of the church, then you've got to show some commitment to the teaching that you know you're going to hear week by week. And if you are against that teaching, although you're a Christian, you oppose it and cause trouble, then you know you are asking for some machinery of warning and discipline to be set up for the sake of the peace and the unity of that congregation. So, yes, you may be my brother, but you may be muddled, and you may be a novice, and I long for you to come and listen and study, and I'll send an elder to your home once a week, and he'll listen to you and he'll teach you, and we hope then you'll come to understand the historic Christian faith of the Bible.
Amen. And we're out of time, and I look forward, Jeff Thomas, to having you return tomorrow to our program for part two of our discussion on the importance of systematic theology, this one being specifically benefiting from knowing true theology. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. So we hope that you tune in, well, who are listening to this program. And please spread the word, especially if you know your friends and loved ones love Jeff Thomas. Have them listen tomorrow. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.